This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
All right, your 5 o'clock hour is at hand. Happy drive time, happy commute, happy road home. Thank you for making the WEEI Afternoon Show with Fitzy and Mego today. Andy Hart is off today on personal affairs, and Ted Johnson back in tomorrow at 3. We've got everything you guys need and then some to keep you occupied, entertained, and enraged and more over the final hour until just after 6 p.m. when we pass the baton to our guy, Christian Arcan. He's got your MassMutual Red Sox pregame show tonight before the Sox take on the friggin' Rays. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like anything they've been doing so far. How about you, Mego?
I was in CVS in Dedham last week because I was coming back from Gillette from a Patriots availability, and I heard like around the corner, "Hey, is that Megan Adelini?" And I was like, "Oh my God, is that Buffalo Bill?" No, it's Christian Arcan, my old co-host.
How come she doesn't get a great story, Stiz?
Dog, because I was busy doing other stuff. Sorry.
Oh, you always have plenty of time to troll me, but no one else gets one when she tells it.
Well, you're asking. I feel like it's, you know, I miss Arcan. I would love to see more
of
him.
Such a great story.
So I'll be listening in.
Same. I love Arcan. I celebrate the whole catalog. And everybody should set their dial and get ready next Thursday night. What you do, you turn on the draft on the TV box, okay? And then you have the radio right by your side or your smartphone using the Odyssey app. And you put on the Arcan and Friends Draft Night Spectacular. Me, Mego, Shime, Arcan. Oh, my God. The whole crew. A cast of thousands. Analyzing, parsing over, picking over the Patriots draft picks. And hoping and praying they trade back and then trade back in. So they leave the night with not one, but two. Two first round draft picks. That's next Thursday night at 8 p.m. And don't forget, the rest of the WEI Afternoon crew will be in Green Bay for the week, live by the draft in Lambeau Field. Mego, bigger surprise on the... Actually, no, hold on. Before I get to this question, let's clean up the calls real quick. A couple came in over the course of the commercial break. Hi, Jamal in the car. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Always. What's up, my guy?
Hey, first of all, Fitzy, I got to say you're a little late on calling out Mego on her lavish Larry Davidisms, because a couple of years ago when she was on the afternoon show, I called her out because she had, like, a situation with a dog, and she used her that situation to someone else's demise to her advantage. I even got the curb sounder, too. But anyways,
are you talking about when I got when my dog was baptized?
Your dog was baptized?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know how you haven't picked up on this yet, but Bill Belichick really needs a tip of the cap. How he set himself up for this whole UNC thing. If you think about it, people that you are able to hold accountable are the most willing to succeed. And he put himself in a situation where he has his girlfriend in his ear every day that's relatable to those young kids. So for at least a couple of years, he's going to be able to succeed using that information, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I hear you on that, Jamal. And let me ask you this question. Jamal, is he still there?
No, he dropped off.
He's not. Okay. Well,
we couldn't follow up a take like that.
That was a mic drop or a phone click, if ever. I got you. Thank you, Jamal. Appreciate the call. Let me ask everyone here. I think I have a feeling on which side you're going to come down on. But so of all the guys in my life, all my male friends that are either football fans or, you know, Pats fans, whatever, it is like a 50-50 split. Half the people that I know are like, oh, God, that is just, I can't look at it.
Are we talking about Jordan or UNC?
I'm getting into that, yeah.
Okay, so, well, I don't know where
half,
we're going.
Regarding Bill Belichick and Jordan, half of them are like, oh, God, this is the worst. Why is he doing this? This is sad. He's lost control. He's, you know, just out over his skis. It's embarrassing. And then the other half are like, you're just jealous. He's living his best life. You wish you had a 24-year-old girlfriend who kept your life organized and was beautiful and took good care of you and blah, blah, blah. It's funny how this has just become the latest polarizing subject matter that people argue over all the time in New England, Mego. I think I know which side you come down on, but I'm going to cede the floor to you, young lady.
I got to be honest, it's not really a topic of conversation among my friendship circles.
Don't get to go to Anchovies, have a teeny port, and then just
and
talk
say
about
what's going
what you guys
on with Bill and Jordan? No. I have to be honest, it's not like, okay. It's not the first time that we've seen a May-November
yeah.
relationship
this is
public?
Like late April to almost early December, but
okay,
that's fine.
That's what I was trying to think of the calendar where that would go. They're two consenting adults, so God bless them. I got to say, honestly, like, I think that people who are a little bit older men, like my dad's age, they're a little surprised because they have this idea of Belichick as being this other guy who he was with the Patriots, where he's no nonsense. He grew up in Annapolis. And so it's more like the social media stuff that he's doing now that's a surprise. And she's wrapped into that because they do all these Instagram posts together. But other than that, I feel like it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind for the most part.
Great minds think alike. There you go.
There you go. Stiz, I know how you feel about it. Ballhawk, have you ever weighed in fully on this?
Probably not. It's a little rough looking at it. It very much feels like his relationship with Jordan and his decision to go coach at UNC are tied together, in that a lot of it's related to the ego. I'm still good enough to be a football coach, and I'm still hot enough to date a 24-year-old. I feel like a lot of it is trying to peacock and show the world that I'm still the greatest, and it kind of makes me a little uncomfortable, for being honest.
I push back on that real quick, Dan. Like, I honestly think, because he doesn't have to coach. He doesn't. He can go.
Right.
He can go on his boat. He can go.
So
and
why is
just
he?
Do a book tour
love of the
for
game.
A year.
Honestly, I honest to God think that love of the game. That man loves coaching football, okay. And I honestly don't think he knows what to do if he wasn't coaching football.
So no part of you believes that he's doing this because 32 teams in the NFL exiled him and he still wants to prove he can coach.
I think there's a little bit of that.
There could be a little bit of that, but I think over the majority, I think he just wants to coach, whether that's in the NFL. Sure, was he embarrassed ego take a hit? Yeah, absolutely, but I think he just wants to coach ball, and that's right, why
yeah,
he's coaching.
Okay, yeah, but none of that has to do with loose skin and old balls, Stiz. Like, that's
whoa.
What I'm, like,
did it ever have to do with that?
That's what I'm talking about. That's the
Are
famous
you out of your
quote.
Mind?
That's the famous quote from Big Daddy, the Adam Sandler movie. I don't doubt that Bill Belichick is at his happiest on the sideline, that Bill Belichick is happiest coaching football, that Bill Belichick wants to, like, have his ashes sprinkled over a football field and be remembered as one of the greatest football minds in American history. That's not it. It's just weird watching his hand, like, you know, somebody that you would probably see as like a product handler, literally be his product handler and be out there adjusting his mic and like control. Like, it's just strange.
Well, that's why I asked John Lyons about it, because he was there. And this is obviously, Fitzy, something that's like ignited something among a lot of people. I'm just saying, me, myself, in my personal life, I don't really it's not really a topic of conversation. You go on social media and you're right. There's this clip floating around of Jordan and she's in the snakeskin trench coat and she's on the field at UNC, seemingly at a practice slash game and in the spring and very involved. And people are like, some people in the comments or bots, who knows, are very upset by that. But you talk to somebody like John Lyons, who's actually there, and he said she was basically placing a mic and then was out of sight, out of mind for the rest of the practice. So who cares?
Yeah, no, I get it. I was just curious if other people were riding along those like live your best life lines or just thought it was strange. It's a very polarizing topic.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I guess I feel like this is, to me, it's more one of those things, and I'm curious what you guys behind the glass think. Like, is it one of those things where it gets so much attention on social media and that's what it is? Or, because I got to say, in my life and like in talking to other football writers, it's really not something that comes up anymore. It's kind of like Bill's in this ACC galaxy far away from the Patriots at this point. And so Jordan feels like a part of that, and that they're moved on. They're moved on completely from over here.
People are always going to have an opinion about all matters Tom Brady, all matters Bill Belichick. Like, they were here so long. They were so impactful. They were so important. They were such a huge part of our lives. It's like, these are family members. These are, like, you can't just date or be married to somebody or have them in your life for a quarter of a century, and then no matter where they go and what they do, not have an opinion on it or keep tabs on it. Especially when it's something as polarizing as not just going to coach in the ACC versus being in the NFL. That doesn't bother me a lick. It's all the whole, you know, just, I don't know. I can't
well,
say because
how do you
I'm
feel
not
about it. Because you're asking everybody about it. What do you think?
I think it's weird, honestly. I think it's strange. Andy Hart thinks it's sad. Ted Johnson, we know how he feels about all things Belichick. But I don't know. I just think it's strange. I could never imagine dating somebody 50 years my senior.
Oh, okay. I'm like, which way is this going?
Sorry. It's an odd matter for me as well. We also came in playing a little bit of audio on the Red Sox. Let me ask you, Mego, what was the bigger surprise over the weekend? Rory getting over the hump, breaking through, and finally winning his Masters, completing the career Grand Slam, the career slam in golf, or the Red Sox going out and laying an absolute steamer at Rate Field, losing 2 out of 3 and scoring a whopping 6 runs between 3 games against inarguably the worst team in baseball?
I would say that Rory is the bigger surprise because it's, you know, following up on Tiger Woods, and I know done in 2 different ways, but just a huge, huge, momentous, historic moment. And the other side of it is like, I don't want to say, okay, it's April for the Red Sox, so disregard this, because these games do matter. They matter a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that when you're losing to a team that, again, could be historically bad in the Chicago White Sox in the manner that you are, you can't totally disregard that. I just think that hopefully they never have a series like this against a team this bad again for the rest of the season. Because if they do, I think they're in serious trouble. Are they in serious trouble right now, the Red Sox? I don't think they are. I think they have a lot of stuff to figure out. And I think a lot of that should come down on Alex Cora, because you can't look at the payroll and the cast of characters this year and say that ownership hasn't tried and isn't investing. I think it comes down to what Cora gets sorted out with this team over the next 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. I hate to say it, but I can't see if the Red Sox are this inconsistent, if team driveline is... I mean, they've really only had one major offensive explosion. Like, they had that Sunday night game with 18 runs against the St. Louis Cardinals on ESPN. And they had a couple of games where they hit well. I think they had 8 runs scored in Crochet's second start where he came through for them against the Orioles. But by and large, like, this offense has been held in check. They lose 3 out of 4 in Texas. Can't score a lick in games 2 through 4. Get stymied early in Baltimore, then come back a little bit, come home, have a productive offensive weekend and a sweep of the Cardinals, and then the bats just go into, you know, they turn off notifications and go into incognito mode and have just been silent for the better part of a week plus. The Blue Jays, it's cold for them too. The White Sox, yeah, I know anyone that wants to play the whole, like, well, they get paid to play 2 card. Yeah, but they're really bad. They had 6 people go for Tommy John surgery earlier this season. Like, That's a minor league roster, one that you stocked up a little bit by sending them a couple of players, including Kyle Teal for Crochet. And Crochet was great yesterday. Like, thank God for your stopper. They're 3-1 with him. Otherwise, they're 5-8 without him. And there just seems to be, you know, Dan Ball had a great take at 3 o'clock in our three-point stance. The lack of homegrown veteran leadership and not mercenary leadership, Dan, is what you believe to be a deficit in resource for these players to go to when things aren't working out. See, by mentioning your name, I was hoping you would weigh in on that.
Sorry, we were dealing with a podcast related issue, Nick. If you would be so nice to repeat the comment, I would be happy to weigh in the second time around.
Now, what I was just saying was your take in the three-point stance at 3 o'clock was that the lack of veteran homegrown leadership is hurting the Red Sox because that deficit in homegrown leadership is not providing for knowledgeable, long-tenured resources for some of the new guys, the young kids, and the people that they've recently signed to rely on or go to figure out how to fix these problems that are plaguing the team.
Understood. Yes. I think that there are numerous different cracks in the foundation that are coming through, but I think a long-standing thing that goes back a number of years is you look at a team that's consistently bad at the details, bad in fielding, and seems to follow the momentum roller coaster the entire roster wide. I just think that there could be a bit of a gap between the highly paid hired guns that you bring in and the younger players that you're developing, and there's only so much that a coaching staff can do. You can teach in spring training, you can break down the video on the iPad as much as possible, but players are always going to be more comfortable going to fellow players, and conversely, veteran players will be more comfortable leading in those situations than coaches may be.
It can't just be as simple as don't worry, they'll figure it out, right, Mego? Like, don't worry, they'll flick a switch, they'll be fine. Like, my spider sense is tingling, like there's something greater at play that's off. And I know we get to talk to Alex Cora Wednesday at 2 p.m. here on WEEI Afternoons, and we'll try to get a feel for how he's feeling about this and see if he's just as cool about it as he was last week and the week before. But I don't feel like they can just flick it. This isn't just flick a switch territory.
And I do think that Cora is kind of the one that you have to direct attention to right now, because as I said before, we are so used to over the last couple of years saying, oh, look at ownership. They're screwing you from the beginning. They're not even filling out the field before they get out of spring training. Like, what a mess. Somebody goes down like Trevor Story and there's nobody there in a meaningful way to replace them. You can't see that this year. And when you look at that, they're leading in strikeouts and they're leading in errors. I mean, for what you have with Alex Bregman, with Trevor Story, and I know it's everybody committing these errors. I'm not picking on those guys. But you would think that there would be, in this small sample that we have so far, a meaningful improvement from last year. And so where does the sloppiness come from? Where does the sloppiness come from? Because somebody like, I don't know, Willier Abreu, like for how he played in spring training, you would never think that he would be producing the way that he's been producing through this season. And he's like your most consistent guy, which is crazy. So I think the only, it comes down to the players, yes. This is the first time when I think we have to seriously look at Alex Cora and say, what's the messaging in the clubhouse? Do you really feel like this is just a statistical anomaly right now, especially on offense, and the strikeouts are going to balance out? Because you've told us that you hate those. Mm-hmm. So, I it's like, for me, I'm sitting here, it's April. We're not even at Patriots Day yet, so I'm not going to, like, lose my mind over where the Red Sox are. I loved what I saw against my Orioles. I think that's closer to who they are. Mm-hmm. But it's also not worth completely waving away when you're losing to the White Sox. The White Sox. Like, they are god-awful.
They are the definition of awful for a reason, and they are a carcass that usually other teams fly in and feast off of, and to watch the Red Sox stumble all over themselves was a little disheartening this weekend, and that's why I think for a team that leads the league in strikeouts and errors, it's worth ringing at least a small alarm bell over, or perhaps calling a team meeting. 617-779-7937. That's your telephone number and your text line. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. Plus, there doesn't seem to be a lot of clutch on this Red Sox team thus far in the season. Clutch has long been debated over and argued to not be something that is qualifiable or quantifiable, but perhaps we might disagree. And how could the Red Sox fix that? We'll get to it. Plus, we have odds and ends, supersized edition at 5:45, and a whisker after 6. It's Arcan. and the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. But before that, let's catch you up on everything trending in the wide world of Boston sports and beyond with Dan Ball.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
5:30. The work whistle has blown. You're rolling home. WEEI Afternoons, happy to keep you company for about another half hour or longer. Then, of course, you guys are not going to want to miss a second of tonight's matchup between the Red Sox and the Rays from Steinbrenner Field. All 9,800 of them at 7:05. 6:05, of course, is the start of your MassMutual pregame show with the tremendously talented and always outstanding Christian Arcand. Look, you know, Mego, as we were grousing about the Sox previously in the last break, it's not that we're like, oh, fair weather fans, here we go. Oh, entitled town at it again. Boston media, Sox, blah, blah. It's just, has it been... I hate to ask this question. Like, by and large, has it been fun to watch the Sox yet? I feel like it hasn't more often than it has.
Two series. You got two good series. You got Baltimore and you got the Cardinals. And then other than that, it's been smelly. So that's the reality of it.
Yeah, and they barely got, like, they barely won yesterday. You needed your stopper, your newly acquired ace, to beat the team that he came from, that you traded with a couple of months back, to step in and mow those guys down like you expected the rest of the team to be able to handle and do, just to be able to escape without a win. And that wasn't even that great a win as well. Again, six runs, three games against the White Sox. My God.
But it's so early. This is what you got to focus on, okay?
Now we're back there.
We got Mike Vrabel tomorrow. He's going to get you inspired for the draft and basically tell you that he's taking it over, so don't worry about it. And then Easter Sunday, you resurrect the title run because you get game one of the NBA playoffs for the Celtics. So you got all this other fun stuff to watch. You just keep the Celtics on the back burner. You keep listening to the pregame, postgame, and WEEI, but you don't need to get stressed out yet, guys. Like, it's not even, what is it, tax day? It's not even tax day yet, okay? You can't get stressed out before tax day. Everybody take a breath, enjoy all your other sports workings, and the Red Sox will sort themselves out.
All right. Okay. If that's what you say, let's take it to the phones and see what the good people of EEI listenership have to say.
Unless you want to call and complain about Tristan Casas, because I do find that enjoyable.
Yeah. I may have to walk that one back. We may have to do a new segment here on the show called Retake, where you get a chance to walk a take back. And my idea that you can't trade Casas because he could potentially be such a dynamite impact offensive player and is so fascinating. I might be out on that a hell of a lot sooner than later. So
it's crazy. He just had so many opinions on the lineup and the roster during spring training. I don't know where all this hatred's coming from.
I know. And don't you just, you know what, I, as a manager or a GM, Dan, president of baseball operations, whatever you call him.
Both of which Casas was being during the offseason. Yes, continue.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. You got to just love when someone who has barely earned their spot in the majors, when someone who's barely earned their spot in the majors comes in and tells you how to do your work that you've been doing for decades. It's got to be the best.
I'm sure. And Cora, as you mentioned, he's very affable. He's going to go along with just about anything. I would love to know how he would respond to that. But that would rub me the wrong way just a bit.
God, would I love to get Cora to come out for a couple of cold ones with us and tell us how he really feels about all this. But until then, let's hear how you guys feel about all this. Hey, there's Tim in Hanover. Tim, how are you?
Great, man. Love hearing Mego and Fitzy keep it real. That's what it's all about, man. I mean, they made a few good moves, but someone already anointed them to go to the World Series. Come on, man. That's far from it. We just hope they do good. But I can say their bats, they go silent. But, you know, look at the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets. They're all, like, super quiet. So it comes and goes. They go and runs. Let's see what happens, you know what I mean? So hopefully it'll come through.
Yeah, hopefully they will, Tim. Thanks, appreciate the call. EJ is in East Boston. EJ, what's good?
Hey, guys, how are you? While Mego was listing off all the events going on Sunday, she forgot the most important, which was WrestleMania. But anyways.
Let's go.
No, that is not sports. That is entertainment. That is choreographed.
Don't be a snob.
Nonsense.
It's a performance. 50. Don't be a snob. 50,
for someone who's been in the entertainment business, you should know it's sports entertainment, pal.
Let's go.
Going back to the take about the lack of, you know, veteran homegrown leadership, you know, being part of some of the defensive miscues. You know, if you just look at, I think it's a bit overrated. If you look at the teams last year that were, you know, bottom of the league in errors, meaning they committed the least amount of errors, it was all teams that essentially bought players on their infield. You know, Arizona with Ketel Marte, Atlanta with Matt Olson at first, the Twins with Carlos Correa. Like, I think water is going to find its level with the bats, if I can be an optimistic Red Sox fan. And I think you will, if Story can stay healthy, and I know that's a massive, massive if.
Huge if.
But I do think eventually those two guys on the left side of the infield will help Campbell's glove at second, but they got to keep playing him at second. Putting the kid in left and putting him in center is never going to help him. Other than that, thanks for the call, guys, and Roman Reigns to win the triple threat on Sunday. Take care.
There you have it. All right.
Tribal Chief, acknowledge him.
All of you, yeah, acknowledge me, please. Acknowledge this. And I was a huge wrestling fan growing up, but it's at a certain point, once you get to be a certain age as an adult, aren't you supposed to be like, yeah, no, I watch for the kids?
It was explained to me this way because I married a wrestling fan, and he
you
said,
did?
Yes. He doesn't like watch a lot, but the major events he'll turn on here and there and like let me know what's going on with the storyline. And he explained it to me. He's like, you consider yourself an intelligent, critical thinker, and you consume a disgusting amount of Bravo reality TV shows. This is the male Bravo. And I said, all right, I can't look down my nose at that. Who am I to yuck your yum? You know, this is, go out and enjoy this. So it gave me a completely different perspective.
I love that phrase.
We all have our.
I don't know if I ever want to hear that phrase again. Who am I to yuck your yum?
Yeah, we all have our stupid things that we're into. And so, hey, that's yours. And now if you're at WrestleMania and you got the phone up.
Here we go.
And you're trying to record the whole thing.
Put it down.
And stunt on everybody. Now we got a problem.
And stunt on everyone.
Yeah. That I'm not cool with.
The storylines have gotten a little better, I will say.
How so?
I don't know. Like
more believable?
It is like a men's soap opera. I'm not like Keith or your husband.
Did Cody Rhodes solve the crisis in Gaza?
Yeah, he finished the story. Absolutely.
Are there ever like secret relationships in the wrestling world where it's
like Triple H married Stephanie McMahon? Mm-hmm. I think that was like
no. But I mean,
not
like
so,
no.
if you
yeah,
know,
undercover
it's not so
for
secret.
A little
I mean,
while. I mean,
as part of the storylines, because you say it's like a soap opera. Does it ever happen that one of the wrestlers has a secret romance with like a female wrestler, and her wrestling team is against it? Like, or is it always just I'm the bad guy and you're the good guy, and now I'm turning heel and you have to be the bad guy? No.
Yeah, there's been a romantic tension between John Cena and The Rock for decades now.
Yeah, there you go. And during the Vince era, it got
a little White Lotus crazy.
What do you mean?
Are you asking me?
What do you mean?
I'll just leave it there.
Now I'm in. WrestleMania has White Lotus aspects to
Well,
it?
During the Vince era, and yeah, even still today, it can get a little risque. I mean, I'll leave it at that. But yeah, some of the storylines are crazy.
I'll be honest. I miss all of the videos of Vince McMahon's heavy-handed, ham-fisted, over-the-top acting, like in the videos he would do with Stone Cold, like where he's in the hospital bed and Stone Cold comes in as the doctor and just brings a whooping on it.
Yeah.
Like, that was so comical. When stuff like that would come across the old TL.
When he drove the bear truck into the arena and sprayed everyone with beer. It's just fun. That's a show. Yeah, it's
now
just fun.
I don't know. It's not the same. By the way, what's up with Cena in the heel turn now? Is that going to be a long-term heel turn?
Yeah, so he's going to fight WrestleMania Sunday.
Fitzy's like shutting down the collar. Don't even mention it. And now he's trying to get caught up on all his stuff.
I don't like it. But if somebody did, what's going on Sunday?
I need to keep my friend. As somebody who's on a radio show in the afternoon and has to keep his finger on the pulse of what the pop culturati are talking about, I need to know these things.
I think they should combine the worlds of Bravo and WWE. I think that would be, then we could all enjoy it together.
I would love to watch the Vanderpumps fight The Rock and John Cena. That would be amazing.
Well, unfortunately, the old cast was retired, so we don't even know what the new cast is going to look like. Fitzy, you sound like a real casual right now.
I'm coming across as a basic and a casual.
So much for knowing about pop culture over there.
Yeah, I know, right? Dan, do yourself a favor. Never watch an episode of any show on Bravo.
It's tremendous.
Can accomplish.
It will rot your
brain.
Dan,
from a production standpoint, you could stand to learn a lot from it, okay? I'm saying, though, they get ratings on cable TV like nobody else left.
I feel like I should be insulted by that,
but
I'm going to go check it out either way.
It's incredible. Okay. I've taken my notes from them.
All right. Fair enough.
Dan, who's on the bump tonight for Tampa and for the Red Sox?
Tanner Houck and Shane Boz, battle of the right-handers this evening.
Shane Boz. I don't think I've watched the Wizard of Boz deliver too many pitches. Houck was excellent in his last start. Unfortunately, that was wasted. So let's hope he can pick up the dub, and we are talking happier trails tomorrow. For your socks, 617-779-7937. If you are a basic or a casual, a wrestling fan of sports entertainment, a Vanderpumper or whomever.
Jones and I are going to have a premiere party for the Valley tomorrow. So, yeah, it's the Vanderpump spinoff, just so you know. A Bravo
it
show.
Is?
Yeah. I've been texting with his wife about it. He's like halfway in.
I'm sad on both the inside and the outside as we go to commercial break.
I was inviting you.
Well, it's very nice of you. Thank you. I have plans to wash my hair outside of the country tomorrow. It's Fitzy and Mego here on WEEI Afternoons, and we can't wait to host you for an oversized odds and ends to wrap things up coming up.
Now, More of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
We got odds, we got ends, we got everything you need here as we come to a close on another fantastic edition of WEEI Afternoons. Fitzy and Mego carrying you through from 2 to 6.03 today. A couple extra minutes. Ooh, bonus minutes. Wow. What has the audience done to be so lucky as to get a couple extra minutes of Afternoons? And, whoa, my God, is that Christian Arcan's music? Is that Arcan in the studio now, too?
Hello, Fitzy. Yes, it is. How are you?
Hi, buddy. How are you, Ben? Good to have you here.
Good. We were watching on the monitor. I have two questions. Number one, do you always cut it so close getting back from commercial? And number two, what is that doll with a Lawrence Maroney jersey back there? Because I'm intrigued.
Fitzy, I said that's his wife. Be nice.
Dang.
All right, Arcan, number one, mm-hmm. My internal clock is tremendous. I can cut it super close.
Okay.
And always have things timed out. Coming back from commercial break, number one. And number two, as you can see here as I broadcast from my home studio today, the doll with the Lawrence Maroney jersey is actually a 3-foot-tall Avenue Q-style Fitzy puppet.
Oh.
So I actually
It looks like Franklin Bluth from after it got dyed in the you've ruined the act, Fitzy. That's what it looks like. But
I'm
okay.
Sorry to feel that way, Arcan.
Very nice.
Oh my god!
I just picked it up, and my dog just lost his mind when he saw it. Now he's gonna probably savage it when he sees me toss it on the ground. Anyway, Arcan, real quick. I know you got to talk about him for a whole hour. But are you as frustrated with the Red Sox as we are?
I lost my mind on Sunday. Oh my god, that thing! Oh, that puppet's amazing. I lost my mind on Sunday. I said a lot of words you're not supposed to say on Sunday, and it was before they avoided the sweep. But to get that close to being swept by the White Sox, I mean, listen, it was in that ninth inning especially, and I know they just won a game, but like that's what I'm still sort of hung up on because they did lose the series. In the ninth inning of that game, they saw five pitches. In the ninth inning of a tie game, like it was ridiculous what they were doing out there. And I'm of the belief that this isn't how you define this team. I don't think this is going to be how this team is defined. But we're far enough along into the season now that you're seeing things that count. I mean, this is all part of what their story is going to be this year. And so far, it's off to a really bad start. I mean, I've just compared to what the expectations were, maybe not compared to the rest of the American League, because no one's really running away with the American League yet.
They're one game out of best team in the AL, and they have by and large been a significant disappointment to date.
Yeah, a massive disappointment. Aside from Abreu, aside from Crochet, that's basically it. I mean, Campbell's been good, but he's an adventure in the field, and he's cooled off in his bat a little bit lately, too. Mm-hmm. Devers had the horrible start. He's been better lately, but I mean, that's, you know, Story's been good lately. It's been largely, though, a pretty big letdown so far, and I think based on all of the hype and excitement coming into the season, that hurts. I'm sure the ownership noticed, and everybody's noticing this.
What's your temperature right now on the Tristan Casas experience?
I mean, it's brutal so far. It's absolutely brutal. Like, he's one of the guys.
It's the temperature of Fenway Park last week.
I hate to say this because I do like the documentary, and I feel like it's given a window into the clubhouse that we're not ever going to get, but I'm also seeing some of these guys, like, Casas looks like a head case out there. He looks totally neurotic. Like, he can't, and you saw that in the thing.
Bobble.
He's yelling at himself. Yeah. He's screaming at him, and he's out there, and I don't know. I'd like to think that an experience like that would help these guys lighten up a little bit, or having a great weekend against the Cardinals where they're tearing the cover off the ball would have them not gripping the bat so tight. But with Casas and a bunch of other guys.
Well, it's him and Bayo.
It's the other way.
You can understand, at least with Bayo, because he's a young pitcher and he's got all this pressure on him. And I expect that a little bit more from a starting pitcher. But to your point, Tristan Casas, it's like he wants both sides, where he's doing naked yoga in the outfield. But then he's also like, look how tough I am on myself.
Yeah, and also, do you guys remember, like, we got a window into just what a kook he was a couple of years ago. Remember there was that at bat where he worked the count to like 17 pitches in Tampa, and when he finally got ball four, he just screamed out of nowhere, "No!" And everybody was like,
cartwheeled to first base.
Yeah,
what's wrong with you?
He's kooky. I mean, again, those eccentricities make him great as subject matter for a reality series, a docuseries, and off-field interviews. That's great. Chum the waters for us by saying that, you know, Devers should have stayed and played at third. Maybe he actually was onto something. I don't know. But Something's afoot here. Something's off with this team so far, Arcan. And I don't believe this is ultimately the tale that's going to be told of the 2025 Red Sox. But to come in with this kind of hype and think they should be at least like 11-6 and see them at 8-9, constantly finding ways to underwhelm and shoot themselves in the other foot in the process, it's disappointing. On the subject of a team that constantly shoots themselves in the other foot, and let's get now to the odds and ends portion of our program, comes one of my all-time favorites in terms of comedy and television, the great Larry David. Remember last week, guys, we were talking about Bill Belichick, Lamar Jackson, Belichick admitting that the Patriots should have drafted Lamar Jackson in 2018. Well, in an interview with ESPN Radio in New York, Larry David took it a step further and told a story about how badly he wanted his favorite football team, the New York Jets, to draft Lamar Jackson, and you should hear what happened.
You think about the fact that Bill Polian wanted to make Lamar Jackson a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. It's...
What does anybody know? They don't know anything. But I did. I did call Mike Maccagnan before the 2018 draft, and I recommended that he draft Lamar Jackson. I have a witness.
Really?
Yes, I have a witness.
And what did he say to you when you said that?
He kind of gave me the most condescending...
Really? Wow. Yeah. So you actually told him that?
Yeah, I told him that, and he kind of he laughed at me.
Well, who's laughing now? Because that was pretty smart of Larry David. Right there. We got to catch a commercial break. We'll come back a few more minutes, wrap things up, and pass the baton to Arcan for the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show here on WEEI.